Exodus 6, verses 2 through 9. Bible says, God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. Can I get a witness on that? That's an important, that's a message for us today. I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. God is doing something different. Amen? God will make himself known to you. God will reveal himself to you today. He said, I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Going to be exciting today. Amen? Amen? With mighty acts of judgment, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and you. And I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen? Amen. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we need a message, Lord. We need your word that would transform our lives, our situations, Lord, that you would give us vision and hope for a future, Lord. You give us healing to our bodies, healing to our mind, healing to our souls, Lord, that we might truly be transformed in our situations. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. You know, I'm talking about healing. I needed some healing this week. I was one sick puppy on Tuesday, and I'll tell you, man, I was bundled up. I was freezing cold, and I was throwing up like crazy. You know, it's not the greatest combo. You know? I mean, either one of them. You know, nah, I don't really want which one. But I mean, I had a sweatshirt on with a hoodie over it. I had full sweats on, my socks on. I had a shirt on. I had a T-shirt under my shirt, and I was freezing. I was sick, man. I was sick. And you know what? I had food poisoning. Oh. You know? And what I got it from?
Taco Bell.
Old beans.
Old beans?
Old beans. Beans will go bad on you. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, yeah, man. And you know, I fight that. I was like, nah, not my wife, man. She's got that message. Throw that stuff away. I'm like, come on. You're going to get food poisoning. Just don't feed that stuff to my kids. I'm like, look, it's fine. Am I sick? No, I'm not sick. I'll tell you on Tuesday, I was sick, man. And I tell you what, I have been transformed. You know, there's some stuff that we're holding on to that we just need to let go of in our lives. You know what I'm talking about? Them beans was one of them things. And I got up Wednesday. I was hurting on Wednesday. But Thursday I got up, and I'm kind of ready to start eating. You know, and I start cooking this bacon, and I'm going, whoa, this bacon is looking a little bit funky here. You know. And I pull out some and put it in a pan. And I'm cooking some for me and cooking some for Joe. And I said, you know what? I don't think this is good enough to go back into the fridge. And I threw it away. And I'm starting to cook this stuff. And I'm going, man, if I'm going to throw the other stuff away, what am I going to eat this for? And I threw it away. And I have been transformed. I have received the truth. You know what I'm talking about? We have been talking about preparing a people. And God wants us to understand his message and to understand the truth. Amen? Amen. And some of us just want to grab on to that lie. And that lie will keep you off track. That lie will keep you away from his purpose for your life. Amen? We are talking about God preparing a people. We've been looking at Moses about how God has to prepare and do this work in Moses so that he can bring that message to the people. And then God can do that message in or do that work in the people so that they can fulfill their purpose. God has a purpose for you in your life to reveal His glory to the people around you. Can you witness on that? Today we're going to shift and we're going to take a look at Pharaoh. And this is something I'm telling you. I have worried on this text for 20 years. I have not. Let me tell you why. It says, Exodus, we read on. It's actually chapter 9, verses 13 through 16. The Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh's the king. Amen? It'd be like, get up in the morning and confront Obama. Right? I don't know if he's got Secret Service around him, man. It could be a challenge. Right? He says, get up and, this is the big wig. He says, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says, let my people go. He says, so that they may worship me, or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and against your people. That's a bold statement, right? Hey, you let my people go, or I'm coming full force against you. And he says, so you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. That's a message that our Creator in heaven wants to know. There is no one like me. That's why we sing to Him. That is why we read His Word. That is why we are transformed by His Spirit, that we might get that truth and that truth might resonate in us. He says, for by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. Oh my. But I have raised you up for this very purpose. And he's talking to Pharaoh. This is your purpose in life, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. I am doing a thing in you, Pharaoh, for my glory.
Hallelujah.
God would do a thing in you for His glory. Amen?
Amen?
Some of you are running into that, saying, oh Lord, I'm going to glorify you. I'm loving Lori's testimony. I'm loving Lily going down that class. I'm loving Karina going down that class. I'm loving those of you who are saying, Lord, what is my purpose? You know, you might be in training for 10 years to get to the purpose that God has for you. Are you tracking with me? But you got to be walking for 10 to get to that purpose. Our job here to get you to that purpose. One of our goals, one of our values, we develop people. We want to see you developed in the plan, in the path that God has for you. Amen? And so God's got a plan. And He is heading right toward Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is lying firmly against the Lord. I don't think so. I don't know who you are. Why should I listen to you? But God is so big and God is so awesome that He can incorporate you in His plan even if you stand firmly against Him. God says, I'm going to send out a message through you, whether you want it or not. God's got a message for you this morning. I got a place in my plan for you. I have a purpose for your life. And that's what we're going to try and find out today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let us move. Let's see what time it is. I'm trying to keep track of my time so I don't go too long. All right. Chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. The Lord said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. But Moses said to the Lord. Now, they're not listening because of the having to make the bricks out of straw. Okay? Yeah. And they're bombed, man. They're being oppressed in their slavery. And they're saying, man, Moses is getting worse since you showed up. So that's what's going on. Just kind of bring up to speed. But Moses says to the Lord, Jehovah God, Yahweh, Lord, if the Israelites don't listen to me, how come Pharaoh's going to listen to me? Moses is struggling with the plan. And perhaps you come in here today and you struggle with the plan of God. Perhaps you struggle with the purpose of God for your life. It's uphill. Can I get a witness on that? It is a challenge to follow the plan of God. And in Moses' life, this same problem comes up over and over again. And the reason is that he's got his eyes on Moses rather than on the Lord. And as you put your eyes on your capability and your capacity, you will never see the possibilities that are for you in the plan of God. Amen? Amen. Do you see victory in your life? Moses is not seeing it. Moses is looking at himself, and he does not know the truth that the angel Gabriel conveyed to Mary. And he said, I'm going to put this up there, I should have, for nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Well, as Moses gets a grip on that, nothing is impossible with God, he will be able to walk right into Pharaoh's chambers and say, let my people go, because I'm serving the mighty God. And as you begin to see the mighty God revealed in your life and released through you, you will be able to do things that you never before imagined. Saying, you don't know my challenges. You don't know what I'm facing in my life. How many of you have got some big stuff that you're facing right now? Up high. Come on, hand up high. Yeah. You got some big stuff going on. Your challenges are there for you to see your weakness and to go through your weakness and see the strength of God. Amen? Say, God, you are calling me to something bigger than me. I need your help. And he says, finally you get it. Finally you got it. Because if you look through your life, through your abilities, all you're going to see is weakness and loss and lack. Amen? But if you look through your challenges, through the possibilities and the opportunities that I bring, we will move from victory to victory to victory. Amen? Paul said what? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That we will not see defeat. That greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? And so our challenges are there for us to find victory and victory and victory. And Moses is not there yet. Paul said, man, when I am weak, you are strong. Amen? And so in your weakness, you can find the strength of God. God's going to make a change. He's going to develop a people for you to step into God's purpose for your life. You're going to have to work on your weaknesses. Many of us got real good at sidestepping our weaknesses, right? It's like, oh, I'm weak there. I'm not going to deal with that. It's like tennis, having a weak backhand. I'll just work on my forehand. Hey, you only get so good until you get that backhand working, right? If you're golfing, you can't work your pitch. And I don't play tennis, and I don't golf. But if you can't, you got no short game. Now they say, Phil Mickelson, greatest short game, right? I mean, hey, choo, choo, that's what he's working on. God wants you to work on your weaknesses. So what does he do? He brings you up against them all the time so that you can learn to lean on him where you're weak. Amen? Amen. And that's what Moses needs to do. All right, here we go. God's making a change. Now we're going to kind of shift over to Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh. I got to tell you about the Hebrew. The Hebrews, there's no like there. The NIV guy said, we're going to put like in there just because we don't think God could really mean that. Said, see, I have made you God to Pharaoh. That's the way the Hebrew reads. And your brother Aaron will be your prophet. He's going to speak for you in the same way that you speak for me. You tracking with me here? He says, you are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country, but I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. See, God wants to declare his glory to the world. And he is looking for a people that would let that message flow. And he says, I'm going to stand against Pharaoh. I'm going to let my people grow as a message to the Egyptians that they might know who I am. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. God has a purpose for Moses, and God has a purpose for Pharaoh. Now, God's going to make a change. Has God made a change in your life? Have you given God the authority to make change? God, you can make a change in my life. You can do whatever you want. God is making a change. He says, I've made you God to Pharaoh. Well, guess who was God walking around on the planet back then? It was Pharaoh. Pharaoh was God. Everybody worships Pharaoh as God. God says, oh, I'm going to expose this lie. Because these people, the Egyptians, or the Israelites were living in slavery, right? But the Egyptians were living in slavery as well. Slavery to what? The lie. And the lie will keep you from the fullness of God in your life and God's purpose in your life. And God says, I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make you God. And I'm going to let Pharaoh know how small he truly is. And I'm going to expose the lie by mighty acts and miraculous signs and wonders. Our God is a mighty God. Amen? He's going to reveal himself to the Israelites, reveal himself to the Egyptians, and reveal himself to the world. God is still looking to get that message out. Amen? Amen? And he is looking for a people that would allow his message to come through them. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. It is through you that I'm going to do my work. I'm going to send my spirit. He says, two or three are gathered, I'm right there with you. He says, you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Why? So I can bring glory to my Father in heaven. Amen? So, Are you living that out? I love Sandra. I see Sandra sitting there looking, and she's up there with a busted foot sitting on her chair and doing all this kind of stuff. And there were several weeks she couldn't sing worship, and she's, I got to get back up there. I got to let that glory flow through. Are you blessed by her up there? Amen, amen, amen. Blessed by the whole worship team up there today. Just blessed. Blessed like crazy. God has a purpose for you. God has given you gifts and made you wonderfully so that you might declare his glory. But the lie of the devil will move you off that purpose and off track of his plan. There is a young woman, a beautiful young woman, 31-year-old woman, I want to tell you about. And you know who she is. She was wonderfully made by the Lord for an incredible purpose in her life, to glorify him. And last week, see such a misuse of those gifts to where this young lady danced around at the Super Bowl half naked before 110 million people. How easy it is to get off track from the plans of God. I was going to, I looked this morning up in my prep for some of her lyrics so that I might share. I was like, okay, she's got these, one of her songs is Naughty Girl, okay? And I felt so soiled after just reading some of her lyrics and what goes forth for popular music today. We didn't, by any chance, Pastor Scott came over to our house. We watched the football game, and we didn't watch the halftime. We just kind of put that on pause and just kind of jumped right over. And we got to make good choices. Yeah. Amen? And so this is 31 years old. Beautiful young lady. And I think she's got more. God had more for her than that. You tracking with me? God's got a purpose for you. You buy the lie, it'll take you off track. All right. Let's continue on. All right. You're going to run into opposition. The enemy's going to try and get you off track. The enemy's going to try and move you back from what God has for you. Chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord had commanded. We're starting the plagues right here. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Remember, God gave him this as he was in front of the bush. He said, what do you got in your hand? I got a staff, man. Throw it on the ground. Boom, it turned into a snake. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. And he ran from the snake. What do you got in your hand? He said, I got a staff. I'll use it. What do you got in your hand? God can use it. And here they are in front of Pharaoh. Aaron threw that staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers. Now pay attention, folks. The Egyptian magicians also did the same things. The Egyptian magicians had sticks that they threw on the ground, and they became snakes. Real deal, not fakes, not a sleeping snake that they threw down. Real deal stuff. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. We got to fight to stay on track, folks. As you are pursuing the path that the Lord has created for you, there's all kinds of obstacles that we will run against, and there's all kinds of opposition that we will run into. He starts off with the snakes, and the magicians are able to copy it. They are also able to copy turning the water of the Nile into blood. They were also able to make frogs come out of the Nile. So you got the snake, then you got the first two plagues. Plague of blood, plague of frogs. Miraculous signs and wonders done by the mighty hand of God. Amen? But the enemy is able to counterfeit that. And I'll tell you what, that same power that was available in Pharaoh's court is still around today. There is a counterfeit that has power. We read about in the book of Acts. Simon Magus, the magician, he was called the great power. Why? He was able to tie into a supernatural source of power that was not godly power. That was from our enemy, that is from the deceiver, that is from the liar, the murderer, the thief. There was a woman in Acts 16 who could tell the future because she was possessed by a demon. Real, they were going to sue Paul because Paul cares out that they arrested him. They said, man, this is our money here. Real deal stuff. And that stuff is still around. And as you begin to walk into the fullness of Christ in your life, there is opposition. Jesus said, hey, watch out, man. You better watch out. There's going to be those that come masquerading as an angel of light. Those come saying that they are me. Don't you believe them? Well, you look good. Jesus says you got to be using your mind. Be on guard. Watch out, because they'll show up and they will deceive many. Don't be deceived. Bible says, test everything and do what? Hold on to the good. Amen? There's opposition out there. And we have got to grab onto the truth because the enemy wants you to buy a lie. Amen? All right, here we go. The enemy can only go so far. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Then the Lord said to Moses, chapter 8, verses 16 through 19, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats. Now, I don't know, how many ladies got dust in your house? The dust all over Egypt is going to turn into gnats. I mean, that's a lot of gnats. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Said, Aaron stretched out his hand, and when the staff struck the dust of the ground, the gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. And the gnats were on men and animals. And the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord said. Magicians can't do it. The enemy can only go so far. These magicians had run into their limit, and they are these workers of dark magic, of black magic. These workers of the devil are the first to discover the truth in Egypt. This is the real deal. And see, God in his mercy, that even those who are bent totally against him are the first to perceive the truth. This is the finger of God. Jesus uses that same phrase. He says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And what we see, the kingdom of God rolling into Egypt, and God is making an incredible declaration. Here I am. I am the mighty God. Don't buy the lie. I have a purpose for you and I have an opportunity for you to be transformed in your life. The plagues advance the kingdom of God. The hardness of Pharaoh's heart advances the kingdom of God. And the magicians are the first to understand it. That kingdom comes by, and the Israelites have an opportunity to grab on. The Egyptians have an opportunity to grab on. And you have an opportunity to grab on. The question is, are you grabbing on? Or have you got something in your hands that's preventing you from grabbing onto the kingdom as it comes by? Because there's all kinds of stuff that we can pick up. I don't know what you've got in your hands, but you might be busy. You might be saying, I don't know. Lord, I can't. Oh, there might be something that you need to let go of. Oh, I can grab one. But I don't know, maybe there's pornography or something in your life. You got to let go of it. There might be some music that you are listening to that you shouldn't be listening to. You might have to empty your hand. You know, you might have a Hoochie Mama dress like that at home. And you might just need to don't give it to somebody, just toss it away. You might be in a relationship right now and you are getting a feeling that you got to dress like that or you got to do things that God would not have you do so that you can hold on to your man. And that's a lie of the devil. That is a lie of the devil. Jesus says, I died on the cross for you. How much more valuable can you be? You're the tops for me. Amen? What do you got to let go of? Could it be bitterness and anger? Resentment? You might need to forgive some people. You might be doing some stuff that's in your hand and not allowing you to grab onto the Lord. Message for you today. There is a purpose for you in your life. Grab onto it. It will expose weakness. Go through them. Find strength in the Lord, and you will overcome. Amen? All right. People of purpose. Exodus 8, 21 to 23. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, even the ground where they are. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land, and I will make a distinction between my people and your people, and this miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. God makes a distinction. Flies. Flies, I believe, are number four. You got Nile turned to blood, you got frogs coming out of the Nile, you got gnats, and you got flies. When we get the flies, God is going to make a distinction. Goshen was a separate area, kind of to the northeast of Egypt. And the flies weren't going there. That is a mighty God that can send flies where he wants to go. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't even know you could talk to flies. God can talk to anybody. Amen?
Amen?
I want to point something out to you. The blood of the Nile, the frogs, and the gnats apparently had an impact on the Jews. Apparently had an impact on the people of God. After this, the people of God are spared. What I learned from that this morning is that being a child of God does not necessarily spare you from the fallout of judgment against sin. That there is tough times that will come whether you are a child of God or not. Now I'm telling you, you don't want to be under the crosshairs of the plagues that are coming and judgment. Amen? But just because you're standing off to the side doesn't mean you might get a little splash on you. Amen? It's not a get out of jail free card. It's going to be rough. It's going to be uphill sledding. Might be some challenges that come our way. The Lord says, hey, I'm bigger than your challenges. Amen? Plagues move on. We've got livestock, boils, and then hail. Okay? All right, so you got the blood, then you got the frogs, the gnats, the flies, right? Livestock, boils, and hail, right? Then we go locusts, darkness, firstborn, all right? So they get to hail, and God says, tell Pharaoh, hail is coming. Bring in your slaves, bring in your livestock, or they're going to be dead. Did you guys see that hail the other night? Leanne and I were driving, man, and we're driving. It's like, whoa, on the ground, man. I mean, it's hail. Man, I mean, it's like being in Colorado, man. We had an eighth inch of snow, man. Woo, watch out. We're going to get a wreck. You know, Pastor Dave was saying that they're having three storms come in. Each one could bring up to 2 inches of freezing rain. But yeah, we had hail, man. It was white on the ground. For about 10 minutes, wow. Anyway, so the hail is coming, and word leaks out. Word leaks out, check it out. And it says, 9:20:21, those officials of Pharaoh who feared, check it out, the magician said, whoa, this is the finger of God. Now you got some of the officials of Egypt. The officials of Pharaoh said, those, which ones? The ones who feared the word of the Lord. What do they got, man? They've got blood in the water. They've got frogs. They've got gnats. They've got flies. They've got livestock dying. They get to the hail and say, we are buying this now. I hope you've got to the point in your life where you are buying the word of God. Amen? Said, and they hurried. They didn't just, all right, bring in the slaves. No, we're running, man. The hail is coming. This guy's not joking. I've already lost all my livestock. I had to buy some livestock from the Israelites, replenish all my stocks and all that. That's going to die again. They brought them in. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field, and they died. God will make a distinction. God will let you know how to be spared from his judgment. Amen? And there are those who just don't care. And there are those that will reap the judgment of God in their lives. I hope it's not you. Let me talk to you for a second. God is talking about sparing his people. You know, next week we're going to be talking about the plague of the firstborn, the Passover. And we're going to talk about the Exodus and how Pharaoh runs after him with his armies and how God delivers his people and really just brings Egypt to his knees. So if you want to read ahead, you can read that. We're in probably like 10, 11, 12. But God is telling the people how they can mitigate his judgment. There is wisdom there. Now, there is wisdom that we get each week from the gentlemen who take the offering. There is wisdom in the word. It says, you know, you guys are ripping me off. You guys are ripping me off in tithes and offering. And Pastor Paul talked about that 2 weeks ago, I think. And he says, hey, look, if you would bring your tithe in the storehouse, I will open the floodgates of heaven so that you will not be able to contain the blessing. Is that a deal anybody here wants? Anybody want the floodgates of heaven open in their life? Let me see your hand if you want that. Some of you are going to get some very cool tax refunds. And I'll tell you, I see some of the most unwise choices made with money. It's like, woohoo! Obama, cash is coming. Let's go to the store. And just such an incredible squandering of that. And you just kind of can look back and go, oh, what a fool I was. You want to be spared some of your own foolish ideas? Tithe on that money. I am telling you, when you tithe on that, there is this element of a covering that you get on your resources and on your choices. God said, oh, you know, down the road, you tithed on it, you got lined up with him. I say, you don't really want to do that, do you? I mean, really, that's a poor choice. I mean, man, I wish I could jump into some of the choices that get made. God's right there. Send his Holy Ghost and do what? Convict the world of sin and guide you into truth and righteousness. I'm telling you, folks, it is like insuring your life. You line up on the Lord, he lines up on you. Does that make sense? Those guys who brought their livestock in, how did they feel when they were done? Woohoo! Guess how much their livestock was worth? 10 times as much. Why? Because all the rest of them got killed. There are blessings when you line up on the Lord. Amen? All right, let's move it on, moving on, moving on. All right, stepping into purpose. 11:1-3. Now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague. One more plague. That is the plague of the firstborn. After that, he's going to let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. And finally, Moses is stepping into the purpose for his life. Amen? Transformation. He says, I am going to do these mighty acts. I'm going to declare my might to Pharaoh, to his officials, and to the Egyptians. And as Moses gets ready to leave, they are saying, Moses is the man. The officials are, the magicians are, the Egyptians are. And in fact, when they finally leave, there's a bunch of Egyptians that leave with them. Saying, this is the mighty God. We want to go with the people that are serving him. Amen? There is a message that goes out. There is a display of glory by God in his people, and people will see that, and people will latch on. And people are latching on. Do people see that in you? God has a purpose for you in your life to display his glory. Plagues are having an impact. Pharaoh's heart is still hard. See it all along the way. There's people that will have hard hearts around you. He started off saying, I don't know this God. Why should I even care about him? I don't know who he is. I'll tell you what, he knows who God is now. Amen? And then he starts bargaining with God. You ever bargain with God? Oh, God, just do this for me. I'll serve you forever. I'll tell you what, I was running from the cops when I was like 15, man. Yeah, 15. I was hiding, man. I was hiding under this tarp on top of this thing. I had run out of the store, had all this booze on me, stealing it, and the cops were looking for me. And my buddy said, I go, why didn't you wait for me, dude? He said, man, the cops had your jacket. They were going through your pockets. We knew they had you. And I mean, I just put my jacket on because I was running so hard I got hot. And I said, God, if you get me out of this, I will serve you with my whole life. And it was 15 years, but man, he kept me to that promise. Pharaoh's making that kind of promise. Okay, Moses, just get rid of the flies, man. I will let your people go. And he backpedals. And he backpedals. And he said, how about just the men go? No, 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 we all got to go. Well, how about if the men and the women and the kids go, but leave the flocks? No, no, man, we got to sacrifice out there. And he's just lying to God and bargaining with God. And he gets the two away, and then he comes back. He got so far. Chapter 9, 27-28, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned. Would you say that with me? Sin. Pharaoh says, this time I have sinned. Oh, man. Help me out. Says, the Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. And he lied. He knew he was in sin. Yeah. And he turned back to that sin. What do you got in your hand? What is keeping you from grabbing onto the kingdom of God? At least you want to come up. Right now, this morning, there is a message that's coming to you. I have a purpose for you, for your life, in your life, that you can shine my glory. What do you got in your hand? What are you holding on to instead of the Lord? Some of you got some stuff to lay down this morning. Many of you have heard the call of the Lord and are pursuing that call, and there are weaknesses that are becoming apparent to you. This might not be in your hand, but you might have a forgiveness issue, an anger issue. You're running after the Lord. You put this stuff down a while. And the Lord is saying, I got a purpose for you. I don't expect you to be perfect. I expect you to be weak. And I expect you to call on me. And I will display my glory in you. Amen? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome, knowing that you are able to transform situations, Lord, that you take the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, Lord, to even crystallize and make it harder, Lord. You show him the error of his ways, Lord. Through that, Lord, you reach out to magicians, through the Egyptians, and to your people. And this morning, that you would call out this morning to your people in this room, Lord. That this morning there are people here, Lord, who got some stuff in their hands, Lord. Lord, that you are speaking to their hearts that need to let go of. Not here to bring judgment and conviction, Lord. You do that. But Lord, I proclaim a message of freedom and opportunity this morning. That to lay down, Lord, those things in our lives, that sin in our life, that hindrance in our life that takes our time and keeps us from grabbing onto your kingdom, Lord, that we would lay that down. Right now, the Lord is speaking to you this morning, maybe. And he's saying, time to make a change. Time to make a change. You're here this morning and you got some stuff in your life that shouldn't be there. You want to lay it down. Things that are hampering the kingdom of God's advance in your life. Things that are hampering your participation. You're saying, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to lay it down with nobody looking around. I want to pray for you. I want to be able to talk to you. I'm going to come talk to you after today. If I don't find you, I'll call you. But you're here this morning and the Lord is speaking right to your heart. Time to lay something down. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is talking to you. I just want you to just raise your hand up and say, here I am, Lord. Right here. Here. Anybody else? Here. Here. You put your hand down once you've seen it. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? You're here this morning and you've set stuff down. You've put some stuff down in the past. You're pursuing your purpose, and you've run into weakness. And because of that weakness and because of that challenge, oh, this is too hard. This is too hard. How can I do this, Lord? And his message for you this morning is you can do it with my help. I don't expect you to do everything. I expect you to understand what you can't do. And we'll do that together. Moses didn't do the miracles. God did the miracles. Moses didn't even throw down the stick. It was Aaron. What do you have that you can give to the Lord? What do you have? You can say, Lord, I got a need. I want to do something, Lord. Call me, Lord. I want to be your servant. Lord, I'm weak. I need your strength. I need preparation. But I want you to display your glory in me. God's speaking to your heart, saying, and this is an encouraging word. This is an opportunity for you. The Lord says, right now, I will use you in a mighty way. Slide your hand up. Say, Lord, I'm weak. I need help to get over this hill. Right here. Somebody else say, that's me. Here. 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 Back there. Yes. How are you? Anybody else? Anybody else? Lord Jesus, for these that have heard your message today, Lord. Say, Lord, I receive your purpose and give you praise. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.